like, you can tell your crazy stories that are going on in your life with people that totally understand.
Somebody's going, I know what you're talking about. They can, like, finish your sentence. Exactly. And then he did that, didn't he?
Right.
I know what you're talking about.
It's like, oh, and then, you know, this went missing and that, you know, like, things like that. And you're just, and who else can you tell that to?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that is was the most important thing is finding, and literally they were people from Buckhead Baseball, you know, not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But the where they held the meeting happened to be the preschool that my kids went to, that Patrick went to. Like, there was something that was sort of pulling me there. It was Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Buckhead. And it was Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. The timing worked out.
Yeah.
And then everything fell into place.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Welcome to the Most High Show. I'm your host, Reverend Christian Jansen. Joining me today, you got David Cleope. We got Kale on the ones and twos. Leslie's doing quality control, and our guest is Molly and Alex from the P-Man Foundation.
What's happening?
Welcome. Now, if you don't already know, the P-Man Foundation provides grants to existing community organizations that expand the availability and increase the frequency of sober social activities. Very important.
Very, very important.
These activities create more safe zones for our friends and neighbors in recovery and those that support them. So welcome, Molly and Alex, to the Most High Show.
Yay.
Thank you.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, you hear this word, P-Man Foundation. Who's P-Man?
I know. People ask that question. P-Man is my son, Patrick Doyle Hall. And he unfortunately died of a heroin overdose in 2015. And he was 29 years old and had spent a big portion of his life struggling with mental health and addiction. But he faced it head on. He definitely, you know, was willing to go to every rehab, every wilderness program. Well, he wasn't so willing to go to the wilderness program. I think he was young when we had him do that. But he was willing, and he was always looking for a way to get out of the cycle.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So about this trying again and again, it sounds like that's what Patrick was doing. Was he kept going back to try recovery again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what we saw is that he would do great in the structured environment. And then when he came out into the real world, it became difficult and boring. You know, he was like, I want to just be normal. He must have said that 1,000 times. I just want to be normal. And one of the things that occurred to us when we were, well, have we gotten there yet?
Go ahead.
Okay. So after what we came up with was that the thing that we feel is missing, not that we're experts, but that what seemed missing in his life was a community of people to go and hang out with and have fun with and have a good day with and go, you know, just enjoy life and not have it be a big deal and not have it be really serious and, you know, and just live again, and being normal was the goal.
Yeah. So something that wasn't meetings and cigarettes and feelings and therapy and deep shit. It's just like, we just want to hang out.
Right.
Yeah.
And a reason that wasn't around alcohol or in the circles of what was, you know, what he was trying to get away from.
Right. Yeah. So it was a safe environment for them.
Yeah. Exactly.
So P-Man is Patrick, son.
Yep. Yeah.
And Alex, how did you know P-Man?
So I've grown up with Patrick and Molly's whole family from, I think, sixth grade. Actually, Patrick's little brother, Matthew, is my age. Patrick is a couple years older. So he was always the cool older brother. And then Matthew moved off and traveled half the globe, and then Patrick and I became friends. And so yeah, we were hanging out quite a bit.
Family, basically. Exactly. Sixth grade. Yeah. And I know this is from sixth grade, your family.
Yeah, exactly. My mom and Molly still go see plays all the time. You know,
sure. Yeah.
It's very close through and through. So, yeah. So you know, Patrick and I I was kind of in a weird spot in my life where I didn't know where to go, and I was broke as hell and trying to figure out my next step. Not quite going through a recovery myself, but also just trying to figure out my next step kind of thing. And so we got into bike riding quite a bit and just trying to find any way to not spend money but have fun. And
Oh, so that was that was like an extracurricular thing that you got, a hobby that you guys had, riding bikes all the time.
And I got into biking because I was playing basketball, blew out
a knee. You look like a biker. You look mad bikey, bro. Yeah. You look like you can do some miles on a bike. Yeah. You got it. You got the look.
You should see his bike.
Right, yeah. It's a large bike. But.
So I'm saying that out of pure jealousy, too. Yeah. I wish I could have had a biker look.
So did you have any issues with drinking and drugging, or were you just friends at a different level?
I mean, I probably could have drank less in my life, but it wasn't... It wasn't quite, we didn't connect through the
That wasn't you guys' like, thing.
Plane. Yeah. It was just purely in the sense of, you know, I like to do outdoor stuff. I like to, you know, bike. I like to get out and about.
So you were one of his homies, like, you know, because like, you know, those of us who use, you know, we had the using homies. Yeah. Then you had the homies that you didn't use with, but they were still your homies. You to see them. And
I knew his background, so I knew how to like kind of navigate to where we're not, you know, I had my buddies that I would go watch a game with and have a beer with. I might steer Patrick a little clear of that group, and he and I would kind of ride through the city and kind of, you know, or like whatever, just kind of go have a good lunch together, you know, whatever, just kind of hang out. So
Well, what a precious friendship, precious friendship to have, to still like do that, make that effort to like navigate and still hang out with your friend while they're going through that part of their life, you know what I mean?
100%,
and still keep yourself, you know, involved in other things, but still be there for somebody that might be struggling at times too.
Yeah, and I didn't quite live all of the you know, back and forth getting out of, in and out of rehab as much as, you know, the family did, but I did hear it, you know, kind of secondhand, so I knew exactly, you know, what he was up against and trying to keep him from that. So
So, you know, Molly, having somebody like you here to talk about this, that's so important, right? Because for every one of us addicts, there's, you know, 10 loved ones who are dealing with us and loving us. And even when we get sober, we're still a handful, right? Don't let none of us sober folks try to tell you that, oh, it's great. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's on Instagram. Okay. So from your perspective, what was that like having, and you know, thinking of the parent who's out there who might have someone, you know, what was that like for you, and what did you do? How did you deal with that? And how did you stay, as sane as possible through this whole thing?
It was exhausting. I'll be honest. My father was an alcoholic, and so my background, I had some, you know, feelings about all that, but that was a completely different situation because it was like, you're my dad, just get your shit together.
Right.
You know, that's how I felt. And with my son, I mean, I felt like that sometimes with him too, but, you know, like my heart would explode, you know, with love for him. And, so, you know, we wanted to do everything that we could for him, which, you know, going to all the different rehabs and so forth. But for myself, I honestly found a community much like yours in Naranon. I went to Al-Anon as well, but I found a Naranon group.
Wow.
In Buckhead, like where we grew up, the kids grew up. And it was people that Patrick played, you know, Little League with, their parents. And it was real, you know, and that's the gift that you don't know that's waiting for you, you know, in Al-Anon or AA or in NA or in Naranon. Like, it's really, to me, it saved my life. Like, those meetings saved my life. And that whenever I was feeling squirrely or, you know, something was going wrong, I would just get in the car and I'd drive to a new meeting and go, you know, sit. Yeah. I wasn't a huge participator, but I made friends. What I learned was the thing I needed to do was listen. Because I was the problem solver. I was always trying to fix someone. And the parents in this Narnon meeting ended up, we'd all laugh because we showed up there thinking they were going, someone's going to give us a manual how to fix our kids.
You'll get the pamphlet for how to fix your child.
And you go, you do this, this, and this, and everything's going to be good. And that's what we all went in there feeling. And then that found out that wasn't the case and that the only thing we can control was ourselves.
Wow.
And so that's how I survived.
Yeah.
That message cannot be said enough for loved ones of people in addiction. That support in there, because you're working on a blank slate when you don't have a history of addiction. You might have like somebody in your family that, you know, drank a lot or something like that. But as far as like being involved in the healing part of it, like, what, you know, you think, you know, normal parenting, don't do that no more.
Right.
Or you're going to, you know, now you're grounded or you can't go out. I'm taking this away and all that. And those tactics aren't necessarily good for somebody that has a substance use disorder. You know what I mean? And plus mental health. So where do you find the information to do something like that? It's definitely in those rooms amongst your community of like-minded individuals that are all like on the same page as you. And that message cannot, in my opinion, cannot be said enough for the parents that are like, and the loved ones that are enabling, that don't know what to do, that are trying everything they can and they feel hopeless. Mm-hmm. And they're just mad and angry and just don't know anything. But they still try to like keep it going and keep doing things that they think that might be helpful, but they don't know where to go from.
Right. Yeah.
They have a blank slate. You know?
Did you have any resistance in going to Narnon or Al-Anon?
Resistance from
yourself, like not wanting to go or feeling like you didn't need to go, that you didn't have the issue.
When I was in the room, sometimes I would feel like my story wasn't like, I've gone for years. I went for my dad, you know, I went to Alateen. And when I was going through, it was like child of a alcoholic meetings. In those meetings, oftentimes I'd leave there going, man, I didn't have it nearly as bad as half of these other people did. But you do feel like
that before. Yeah.
And it makes, and so you're kind of like, well, maybe I don't. Yeah, I guess that's where you're going.
Okay. Well, because I've just noticed that in the people, a lot of times parents will come to me and ask me, what do I do with my kid, right? And what I learned to do was to minister to the person who's coming to me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the kid is not in front of me, but the parent is. And so what I learned to do is, what's the help that this person needs? Because they're asking for help.
Right.
And so I recommend it. Go to Al-Anon, like, go to Narnon, like, get in that community. And more often than not, people won't do it. They just don't. And so
I would imagine because they're embarrassed, there's shame, there's like awkwardness of even like going to a group of people and talking about my son who is like, you know, using dope,
right?
You know, shooting coke.
Like, right.
It's a hard place to go sit down and talk. It's a lot of shame and embarrassment in there, I think.
Especially in your own community.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Trust me, I the night that I heard that Patrick was shooting up heroin and was being thrown out of a treatment center, I was like, who the hell do I tell that to? I got nobody I can tell that to until I found that meeting. And then I found people then it gets to be like, you can tell your crazy stories that are going on in your life with people that totally understand.
Somebody's going, I know what you're talking about. They can like finish your sentence.
Exactly.
And then he did that, didn't he?
Right.
I know what you're talking
about. It's like, oh, and then, you know, this went missing and that, you know, like things like that. And you're just, and who else can you tell that to?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the most important thing, is finding them. And literally they were people from Buckhead baseball, you know, not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But where they held the meeting happened to be the preschool that my kids went to, that Patrick went to. Like, there was something that was sort of pulling me there. It was Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Buckhead. And it was Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. The timing worked out.
Yeah.
And then everything fell into place.
Now, so you're doing that for years, dealing with that. And then, you know, the worst case scenario happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as much as you're comfortable with just kind of like walking through, like, what was that like and how did you get past and through that? How long has it been since?
8 years.
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Family. We have a very close family. Surprisingly, no one was angry. Mm. Like angry. I mean, I think for a minute we played out the scenario like, who sold them this, you know,
Get the person who
I think
did
we
it.
Know yeah. who that. I mean, someone's, you know, there was, and Matthew, my younger son, just, you know, they were like, well, we should look at his phone and who's going to look at his computer and all this. And Matthew just went, trust me. You're not going to find anything you want to know there. You're just not going to. He just shut the door on it.
Wow.
And it was, and he's, you know, he's the younger brother. He was just strong and he knew, I think that was really wise information. And we all just respected that and backed away. And that was the end. So we didn't spiral into blame.
Yeah.
And then honestly, Alex came to us weeks after Patrick died. And proposed having a bike ride in Patrick's honor.
Having one bike ride.
One bike ride. Here we are.
And 8 years later, it's still going. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what prompted you with this idea that to get the bike ride going?
So like I said, we had been biking kind of through the city. That was a very inexpensive, healthy way to kill some time on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Ride through Piedmont Park or whatnot. And so when he passed, you know, there was obviously no comparison to what Molly's family went through, but there's that level of guilt that, you know, the friend group is feeling and trying to do some soul searching on and stuff like that. So we're at the service just like, you know, still can't believe it happened, miss him dearly, all that stuff. And we were like, we got to do something. Like, we got to have, you know, because his last year seemed to be one of his better coming out of recovery, where he seemed to be having like a path. Like, he seemed to have a little more direction. He seemed to have kind of steps to where he wants to be. You know, I don't know if he had ever written down a 5 or 10 year plan, but I like to think he may have had one in his head, kind of thing. Like, he had kind of a vision. And part of it was eating healthier, just having healthier, you know, activities, whatnot. Right. So like, we just thought a good message of that would be, you know, do a bike ride. We already had, we were telling you at the break, we'll call it. we had a lot of relationships already like set up through there was a bike shop right on the Beltline that we were really close with. We had friends that could cater it through the companies they were working with, a really good breakfast chain in the Southeast. And so like, there was a lot of things that were already there. And so we're like, I mean, we could do this. Like, this is not, we don't need to shell out hundreds of dollars or right. do any of this stuff. The other thing that's amazing to see is when we started to, you know, get the wheels moving on this stuff was how receptive everyone was. Like, nobody was ever,
submitting. It's good to see. It's like heartwarming, right?
100%. And nobody was saying, well, that'll come at a cost of this, that, or the third. They're like, name a date, we'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. There was nobody was like, you know, and so we, you know, it just kind of fell into place. There was I didn't have a spreadsheet. I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
It was literally, we were at, I don't remember the name of the breakfast shop, but I remember, you know, when I first came to Molly on this, I was like, I don't know if this is too soon, if this will be like received well, if this is going to be too much, too little, right. you know, all this stuff. And I almost felt like I was going on first date. And I was like, man, I don't know what to say to Molly. Like, how do I present this? Like, I don't even have a plan. I'm just literally like, let's have a bike ride. She's gonna be like, this is dumb, you know? So we get breakfast a few weeks later and she's, you know, pumped about it. And just.
Oh, so you were right on board after you heard the.
Yeah.
Well, I was stunned, you know, that he was sweet enough to even think of that.
So sweet.
And other, you know, his other friends all came together.
And I can't take full credit. There was five people at that service. We were all in a circle just, you know, chatting about it. I was just the one that went to breakfast that morning.
Just went on the date.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You said it actually. The idea started happening right at the service.
At the service, yeah. Because we're all, you know, like we're in that deep level of grief where you're like,
what do I do?
You know, there's so many layers to that. Anyone listening's been through that, unfortunately, where you're just like, you start researching, like, what are the statistics? What do people do? What should I do? You know, how many people is this affecting? Like, you just start kind of panicking a little bit. And so this was our panic creation, I guess.
So, I mean, what a cool ass dude to think of this and to present this and to be willing to put yourself out there and say, here's an idea. That's pretty dope. Yeah. So how did the first ride kind of go off?
Oh, like gangbusters. It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was right on the Beltline. Perfect day.
Now, does every biker, like, pay to be in it? Is that kind of how that works? Or was it a fundraiser, or was it just like, we're going to get together to cathartically pedal and give honor? Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Couple of things. Yeah. Yeah. There was
both.
Both. Really, we were trying to fight stigma. We were also trying to be like the face of a family who had just, you know, had this tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, we were upstanding citizens in the community and all that kind of stuff. And this can happen to anyone, basically. So friends and family showed up. The Beltline was brand new, and so that, you know, I had somebody from my office been like, oh, maybe I'll come because I've never been to the Beltline. So, but there we had Shatterproof with the stigma wall. Have you ever been at their events?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they came, and we put pictures of friends that I had met through a grief group, you know, of their children, and then they came, and it was powerful. I mean, it was really powerful. Yeah. There was a girl there, friend of Matthew's, is a drug salesperson, and she was saying, like, stigma is such a big word, and it, you know, she deals with some mental health issues and some, like, people are stigmatized for taking medicines, mm-hmm. but, and then she was looking at it from our point of view with addiction and all of that, and she was like, that was so powerful.
Yeah, yeah. It was wild to see. If you're not familiar with that stigma wall, it's a big white wall that they put up with the giant word stigma over it, and you write names of people that are either currently going through addiction, someone that may have passed, someone you're thinking about kind of in that moment.
And what is it? Is it? Are you saying it's at the Beltline right now?
No, it's just something they do at their
events. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And so what they'll do, you know, so you write the name of the person and, you know, ideas to cover up the word stigma. And, you know, again, mm-hmm. with this event, we weren't really sure what form this is going to take or mm-hmm. who's going to show up or mm-hmm. receptiveness to it, how open the conversations would be. Would this be, you know, kind of a awkward thing, or would it be an open, you know, kind of dialogue kind of thing? And we had enough names up there to cover it up, and people were at that wall writing names that you wouldn't have suspected. Where you're like, right. You know,
that just gave me chills.
Powerful moment. Yeah,
yeah, that just gave me chills. Yeah. Remembering that. Yeah, we had Georgia Overdose Prevention there.
Yeah,
doing Narcan, you know, giving out Narcan sprays if they wanted it, and mm-hmm. And we were just trying to
just figure out what we didn't know about putting on a fundraiser.
No, but that's so awesome to actually do it and not get caught up in, like, I don't know, and are the details of, like, I don't know if this is going to work. Are we doing this right? But just actually taking the action steps set and just date. Getting up there and going.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
I like that. Set a date, action. Make it happen. Yeah. I mean, that's how we got here in this room right now. I didn't know none of this. So I just started making it.
Yeah, right. Come together when you want it bad
enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Start telling people about it, man. Figured out.
So this first event goes off and you see there's a light bulb probably that clicked, right? That you went, this could actually be helpful. So when do you make the connection to say, let's raise money and give away money to organizations for more of these sober activities?
How long do we have here?
No. We had a lot of brainstorming meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so I would, you know, we should say that where we are today was not where we were then.
Yeah.
So when we first started, we wanted to do everything. We wanted to be you know, the people that put on the event. We wanted to go out, find people to attend the event. We wanted to go, like, curate, you know, the bikes to do ride.
Right.
You know,
I imagine, like, whoa, this is so, yeah. Look at this, how beautiful it is. Let's do all of it. We'll do this. We'll do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Tomorrow, then, we'll have a...
And then reality.
We were going to buy a building.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's what brainstorming is all about. You just,
absolutely.
You throw all the ideas.
Yeah, man.
But we have a dear friend who's a marketing wizard, and she basically pulled out flip charts and guided us through trying to figure out what our options were. You know, we've got money, and then we had to figure out what our mission would be, which took quite a while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she just helped us narrow down the focus and figure out what it was. And then from there, we were able to move it on.
Yeah. And so what was it that made the connection with Sober Activities? I know that you heard that and you probably could hear it echoing. I just want to be normal. But do you remember when that clicked and you said, okay, let's do this, and that first Sober Activity that you guys funded?
That good stuff. Because at first we had started with a couple recovery groups trying to build like things. We try to like give bikes to groups to try to get them excited to do different stuff. And we tried to kind of create our own events and what that would look like that was like more, you know, recurring more often than annually. And what we realized was that's not going to be our strong suit. We just, you know, none of us were ready to leave our jobs yet to do that. We had, you know, Molly has a couple grandkids that were entering the world at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to really create everything. And so we decided to basically become the facilitators of the funds, like coming from these fundraising events to grantees. And that took probably 4 years to figure out.
Yeah,
we're in year 8 now, so it took about 4 years to really understand where we would be in that relationship. It just took a while where we were like, let's try this idea. That's not exactly where we want to be. This didn't work. This did great, but do we have time for it? That kind of thing. So now where we are, I feel like I've been talking a lot.
You're telling a story.
I think that's why she brought you.
Yeah, right. Right.
So that she didn't have to
tell the story.
Yeah.
So now where we, you know, kind of where we landed, and correct me where I leave things out here, Molly. But so where we've landed is we decided that we're really good at doing this annual bike ride. Mm-hmm. We're really good at going out and figuring out how to fundraise. Mm-hmm. We're not the best at fundraising. We're figuring it out. key words there. But what we like to do is go out and find people that are already motivated. They've already started to do, every Saturday we play soccer at this field, or we do yoga sessions here or there, or we do, you know, some sober social activity that isn't specific. Like we like to, you know, invite anyone and everyone that has, or we like their event to be able to invite anyone that, you know,
it's a full community event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't have to be in a specific club or be in a specific, faith-based group or like some specific recovery group before you can come to this event. It's something to where anyone's invited. There's obviously the sober component, but the social component and active is what we'd like to see. And if it can impact a decent amount of people, I mean, that could be, you know, we've approved grants for things that impact 5 or 10 people. We've, you know, seen like 50. So, you know, it could be kind of all over the map. And that's where we've landed today, is just trying to move the money from the people that give us money over to the grantees.
Yeah. So who, you guys just awarded grants recently.
Yeah.
Do you know who some of the grant award winners are? I feel like this is enter Ricky Davis to start running it off because he's done such a good job of.
Yeah. I talked to him today. I was like, you know, the P-Man folks is going to be at the show.
He's going to probably come
busting through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. So do you know some of the, just so people can get an idea, because you've already awarded grants for this year, right? But coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so we'll, great idea. I'll kind of preface this while we get our list together here. This is our third round, is that right, that we've just granted? Or is that
fourth, fifth, technically, because Bicycle Tours of Atlanta was our first.
I
got to
learn
one.
How to count.
Yeah. Amazing.
So fifth cool. one. And, you know, again, it's taken a few different forms and shapes of different, you know, groups that we're helping with their event. It could be we've helped different recovery groups.
Yeah.
We've helped people that just want to do yoga in Piedmont Park on a Saturday, and they have a group that, you know, they're just wanting to get, you know, journals and yoga mats or,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it's softball equipment, it's surfboards. It's been all over the map.
Well, I love because it's not just, even though in the mission statement, you know, it talks about organizations, but even individuals, right, who are doing something, that they're encouraged to apply, because as long as it's doing what you guys think is going to align with your mission, which is creating that sober activity, then it might be a good fit. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Crystal.
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, listen.
Okay. We were actually hoping in the beginning that it would be more individuals.
Yeah.
And it hasn't turned out to be that. Because it's honestly, it's kind of a big undertaking to, like, we had a girl apply to, you know, form a soccer league. And I don't think she knew what she was in for. And so it didn't, you know, just didn't. It's too much.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
And sometimes when you're that individual, maybe filling this out for the first time, you think that we need you to be in, like, you know, some scripted format of, like, what you would do to, like, a
this is what we do.
They don't realize there's only, like, eight people on the other side that have never done this before. Or we've only done it five times before.
Right.
Are reviewing this. This is not, you don't, we're not asking you to defend your thesis.
Come give your spiel on why do you need this?
Yeah. So, and we
be
leave
very descriptive.
And we do leave.
Yeah. You do give a spiel.
We leave the questions pretty open-ended. We don't want people to think, you know, you have to fit this exact box. We want you to open up on, like, what you think this is today, what we could help you make it be tomorrow, kind of thing.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who are our winners? Who are our grand?
We all know. I don't think winners. Like a surprise, but you'll.
Yeah, they know.
Right, they
But what I really want is I want whoever's listening to know who got this, so that they understand next year.
That you maybe relate. Oh man, they got that. That's what we do.
So Nicholas Center is a group that we had not heard of, but once we read their application, we were like, oh, we want to, you know, partner with these people in more than just this. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to build a garden and, you know, put planters in, grow some vegetables. It's a women's group, and, you know, they wanted to teach people to grow their own vegetables. And we were like, we're all over that. I love that idea.
Yeah.
So, again, it's not necessarily
an excellent idea.
But we'll take it.
Because, again, that's an activity where people can get together to till the garden, to plant it, to go and water. And so there is something for people to do sober and get together.
And super social part. We're fighting that boredom that we talked about where you've come home, you're trying to get back to
some of these folks been growing weed, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, it's time to use that force for good. You know what I mean? Like, use that green thumb for
I've
peas and yes, asparagus, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta tell you, when I see a red tomato on my patio when I'm trying to grow something, I get very happy about it.
Yes. Right,
There's definitely a thrill to that.
Yeah.
What Limits Us Project, this is their second time that they've gotten money, but
their name is What Limits
Us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And they worked with No Longer Bound teaching the guys, like, running and getting them involved in some races and so forth.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. And, but they also
get that runner's high. That's that new dope right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good stuff. Right.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
We've liked them a lot. They're great. Rise Up Recovery.
Yeah.
Oh, my boy Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I work with Daniel all the time.
Daniel just pulled it to he just figured out what he was going to do. First, he told me he was going to do, I don't know, some other basketball kind of thing, but they ended up doing, like Mario speed.
The kart does
race,
game?
Rate. No, yeah. It's like a race. You race cars.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Like a video game?
No.
That would be.
Live. Like you...
Oh, you
Mario Andretti.
Oh, Andretti. Oh,
we're all
man. We got really bad.
You're just gonna be like,
we're so digital.
The other Mario.
I'm like, yeah,
gotcha, Mario Andretti.
It's a me, Mario. Yeah,
they have a place called Andretti's.
They, right. Yeah,
you have right. Andretti's.
That's a great. That's a great gathering because
so cool.
Like, you know, you've been doing speed all day, you know what I mean? Like, now it's time for you to, like, just go fast in a cart.
I imagine it's like a go-kart type of deal or something like
that. Yeah.
A race or something like that.
Yeah, right? it's like a race cart or something. Yeah. I got so text messages, emails, phone calls from these guys after they finished. They had such a blast.
Really?
Shout out to Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been good communicating, like, you need to thank her kind of thing, I'm sure is what he said.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they would text message me.
Oh, that's really? Great. Everybody, oh, your thank yous well, are so great.
I mean, David, we know Daniel and that community and the men that he helps. Some of them are coming from, like, you know, like, not the greatest situations.
Absolutely
so
not.
For them to go and race, like, go-karts in a track, it's probably like the like so much
so
fun,
cool,
such a break from the
absolutely.
Norm, which is kind of the point here.
That's
right?
It. Exactly. That's why we're doing this, right? Right? That's the that is the P-Man reason.
And we love
right?
wild, you know, proposals.
Yeah, that's
it
cool.
gets us thinking. We're like,
out of the
right,
box stuff,
like,
right?
Yeah,
right.
We're not just running in a circle. All right, we can run race cars.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. The first year we got an application for surfboards because Doc's place is in Brunswick, Georgia, right on the water. Mm. And so they wanted surfboards. And we were like, hell yeah.
That is so cool, dude. Yeah. I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were very excited. Yeah. Dream Power Therapy. This is a friend of Ricky's too. She's doing horses,
equine therapy. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to have a horse ring, and it will be the P-Man Foundation ring. Wow. Yeah, so we're helping her build the ring.
That's
awesome. That is heavy, man.
Yeah.
You're going to build like a for horses?
I mean, we're not going to build it.
No, but you're funding it, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, that's
I talked to her on the phone, and she was like, this is what we can do. We can, you know, we can name it after P-Man Foundation, which is great. It made it great fun. Self-discovery. RCO, they're doing a kayaking trip on the Broad River.
Yeah.
And Adventures in Recovery. Is this the one that's going to Kilimanjaro? I think so.
It might be, yeah.
What?
They're going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
In Africa?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so
wow.
We of course, said...
That's a bucket list destination.
Yeah. For right.
Yeah.
Well, they did one last year, and it wasn't as dramatic.
I think it's that Vision Warriors group that your shirt is.
Really?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
so I went on the Colorado trip.
You went the Colorado
trip. I hiked Mount Sherman.
Yeah, outside of Denver.
14,000 feet.
Okay, yeah.
That was no joke.
You did that?
Yeah. And so that's why when they started talking about this Kilimanjaro, I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, maybe
my
not.
Step counter.
Yeah. We're talking about actual Mount Kilimanjaro, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my bucket list destinations.
Oh.
So let me tell you. Let me.
I don't know if I can.
Right. Wear a P-Man shirt. You can be our representative.
That's it. I'll do
let
that.
Me tell you about this trip to Colorado that you guys helped. Because you guys sponsored the Colorado trip.
Yeah. Oh, you did? I didn't know that. Oh, I had no idea. That's so
awesome, first off,
man.
The cost to go was affordable, right?
Yeah.
And it was a plane ticket and lodging and food and everything, and it was like really low, right?
It was for a week, I think, wasn't it?
It was for a week.
About a week
and I think Kirk did a lot of magic to keep it low and stuff. But there was at least five guys who had never been on an airplane before.
Oh, yeah, he told me that.
And had never been out of state, you know? So this is their first time.
Man.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're hiking and they'd never done anything like that. So it was just a mind blowing, expanding, you know, because I think a lot of what these kind of things do is we have limiting beliefs already. Right. And when you just take action and then you're seeing yourself do something like climb a 14,000 foot mountain, you go, oh, like I can do hard things. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not just this, whatever I've been, I can do something different. I can be something different. So
I'm not just this Cherokee County, boy just hanging out in northern Georgia, I can do more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's so cool about that too. I remember you talking about how you approached it, going up the hill, especially when it started getting difficult.
Yeah.
When you started going up, you're like, I did harder things. I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like your motivation.
Oh, yeah. Self-talk.
Trekking up that mountain. That was that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize you went on that.
That's yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Well, I had no idea you guys had a part of funding it. I had no idea about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I met with Kirk and I was at his event last October, I think, or November, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it was like an annual event, some sort. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does motorcycles too, doesn't he? Does he do
a
motorcycle?
He rides a motorcycle.
Yeah. I thought so.
He does any like gritty like man thing that you can think of. Yeah. Like you know, he does that.
He's like the Alfredo Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
The Alfredo Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I didn't meet him.
Yeah.
Veterans. That's our other one. We're working with Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know him, but he's a veteran himself. And he got it in his head that he thought it would be a great idea to bring cornhole to meetings and teach guys to play cornhole. So if you see a guy playing cornhole, that's Thaddeus, and we've bought all those cornhole boards. He has now gone professional. Like, he is no joke. He's not like your backyard cornhole player.
Okay.
He's winning, like, he's taking people to events where they can win prizes and money and... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's he's really rolling cool. with it.
Wow.
And he sponsors one event a year, I think around Memorial Day. That's where it started. And then, but now he's like on wheels. He just basically just keeps the cornhole boards in his car or in his truck, pulls them out. He pulled them out at the bike ride that we sponsored during the bike rally this year. And all people who had never played before were over there playing and having a blast.
People were slowly walking over there like they didn't want to play cornhole. Yeah. Just check it out. Yeah. And like you turn that's around the next the time, approach. They're like, all right.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a long way because he does regulation. In, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's serious.
Yeah.
He's serious. Yeah. He's been a great find, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
He's been great. Do you want me to keep going?
Let's do one more.
You're the next one, Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do?
That's what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were awarded a grant to do. We do these 12-step retreats, 12 steps in 2 days. And you guys provided the funding for us to do that. We'll be doing that this summer. We take at least 12 guys, get them out of the city, out of their environment, take them to like some sort of adventure destination. We go through the steps, but not only do we go through the steps, we do things like take hikes and hang out and kick it. And, you know, we do a little church service.
Serious, deep gathering.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's a lot to take in, but it's like, it's digestible. We make it it's digestible for the crowd to like really absorb the basic knowledge of the steps. And man, it's a very spiritual time, man, because when you push through these things in a short amount of time, you know, I think the last time I went, somebody got baptized. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right there. Yeah. It was deep. It was really serious.
Yeah. We have a series. We have a series of videos that we created. And so there's 10 videos. And so each video is about 5 or 6 people. They talk about a step. And then we have a workbook that our friend Dan Francis wrote, and we go through this workbook together. And we sit in this big circle and go through that workbook. And so what's cool about that is no one there is really teaching, right? Like, you know, there's some of us that might have some more time than everybody else, but and I'll facilitate conversation, but I'm not there teaching, right? Like, I'm going through the process as well. And then we do that. We do a couple steps, and then we take a break. We'll go on a hike, or we'll go do something. Eat. A lot of eating. A lot of eating.
Good breakfast.
That brings people together.
That does. Yeah. That alone does, right?
Yeah. So we're planning on doing our event very soon, probably in July. We're looking for a location to house about 14 of us. So
if you're curious to hear firsthand, what did you think of the application process? Was it, did you understand the questions? Was it kind of straightforward?
Okay. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think that like, you know, I think when I first filled it out, I wasn't aware of what really was the purpose of it.
Right.
you know.
Because Ricky just yells, they will give you money.
Yeah. You got to do the P-Man. Yeah. Listen, I'm talking about the P-Man. Y'all better call the P-Man.
Yes.
Fill it out. Right. Look it up.
But once it was explained, okay, this is what, you know, and so then I could say, oh, we're doing that. We do these physical gatherings, these gatherings this year. Yeah. And I think when we first filled it out, the app was probably the main thing that I was trying to get some funding on to help us with the app, which I think does create a community, but it's not what you guys are doing. You want to have physical gathering.
Interaction.
Yeah.
And the app is connecting people, but it's not doing it in the way that where you're wanting people to have sober fun and in person getting together. So
yeah. Alex sold it. He tried to sell it. Do you remember telling us all about it? Because we have a big group and everyone has to like take on the application, you know, like a couple review of the applications.
It, read it head to toe, reach out to you guys, understand, like get into the details more. Because, you know, there's always, again, we leave pretty open-ended questions. So sometimes people will write something and like they'll kind of hint at this, but then go into like something that is a little off topic. And we're like, let's go back to that. Like, what are you at? Like, what is the event after? Like, how many people are you expecting? What specifically are you going to put the money towards?
That's cool.
We're not after, you know, like a business expense situation where we want to see receipts and we're going to audit or anything like that. We just want to understand, like, what are we providing? Like, for the surfboard situation, I keep going back to it just because never thought we'd fund surfboards. But it was like a tangible thing that we're bringing to that event. We funded, like, softball where they're like, you know, they're wanting to get jerseys. You know, some of the mitts are 10 years old, whatever. Like, let's update some of the gear. And, like, we're like, boom, that's it. We don't need the Sports Authority. I don't think Sports Authority is around anymore. But
something like that.
We don't need the, like, full, you know, receipt on that. But just want to understand our impact of where this money's going to go. Because, as we said at the break that we'll talk about, was the we never have enough money to give everyone what they ask for.
What they're asking,
and so we have to make some decisions.
Sure.
Right? That's a call to, that's why we like for you go all to be specific. That's also why we like to get more granting.
brings to the next question, which is how are you funded and how can we help to, you know, make it to where next year you have a bigger pot to
finish my list.
Yeah. Oh, do you have some more you want to? Do you have some more?
There's a couple.
Spit it out.
Let's go ahead. Come on.
Make me really happy.
Because I can tell. Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy about that. I want to know.
Yeah.
Keep this on.
I want to know.
Go ahead.
Well, the next one is Mother to Mother. And this is a group that's going to be doing a fashion show. And the fashion show is going to do before and after pictures. So they're of their, you know, before picture, and then the after picture will be the current. And she's partnered with like a boutique. She's got somebody to
hold on. Let's take a pause real quick. Take the battery from that one.
It's only then, you, Alex. That's why.
I'm gonna do a little dance.
So I don't think that battery charged or something.
Yeah.
It's like my phone.
The one that was on the
wall.
Like my phone.
Yeah.
On the way here, my
short battery.
Some days they're like that.
I was like,
they're making me upgrade. That's what they're doing.
Of course.
You know how to get the battery out? Just take the battery out.
What's the thing?
Okay.
Okay. There's enough clips of me out there already. So, yeah. But these are great because I really want to make sure that we get these so we can clip them because I want to put these out as to inspire people to, you know. The other thing that's pretty cool is I love that the process isn't super bogged down because, you know, a lot of us were, you know, shooting dope, you know, year for last, right?
Like
running the streets.
The idea of filling out a grant.
Like, right.
What the hell is that?
It feels far away. Right. But if you just go to that page, you'll see it's really straightforward, really simple, and easy to fill out.
And the key is we really do reach out to you guys and try to get more out of, like, because again, you're going to hint towards something that you might not think is important,
right?
That we'll help you zero in and on a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's excellent. I think like having the application process not be so strenuous.
Yeah.
However, doing your due diligence to follow up and really get a gist of what is this all about.
Yeah.
It makes it very personal because somebody's going to ask you to describe it. What is it? And then you guys can like hone in on it and surface some things and like to make it, I don't know, more helpful.
Because we started our own event 8 years ago, and if we had to call some, fill out an application for it, we would have been not doing it.
We don't know.
Okay, so mothers to mothers.
Yes. Mothers to
Let's
mothers.
Let's start with that one. Do that one again. Go ahead.
Okay. Mothers to Mothers is an organization that has asked for money to do a fashion show. And the fashion show is going to consist of, their clients, and they're going to show their before picture, and then they're going to have like this makeover, and they've partnered with a boutique and hair salon and, nails and all this kind of stuff where these ladies are going to look like $1 million and awesome. Show it off to the world.
Everybody loves a before and after.
I know.
Everybody
I
loves know. A bedazzle.
Exactly.
A glamour shot.
But awesome. we were real excited about that. It's fun. So there's lots of unique. It's really fun. Like when we meet about these grants and we review them, it's a blast because
learning
so
about
excited.
These how other people want to
raise when we
and
read
do
them and they're like, "Are you kidding? That sounds fabulous." Yeah,
people's cool. ideas are awesome. Like they just they're not all the same.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're. But that was another unique one which we really enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think her event is coming up in August.
Well, the recovery community, I think we've been beat down like in life, right? And so
talk about it.
The idea of like I'm worthy to do something like throw an event or, like especially when you're in a year or two or three or even in your first year of recovery, right? Mm-hmm. But getting empowered to do something can radically change, your trajectory, I think, right?
Definitely.
Because then you go, wow, we pulled it off. I mean, that's what we were shouting out Crystal because Crystal, had the idea she wants to do some float down the river thing. And then she's like, needs $50 to buy the food. And I'm like, so we just give her $50 to buy the food. But she just had the idea and needed to do it.
Ask.
Yeah. And so I think like to empower people to do that, because that's really what it's about. I mean, my own personal program of recovery centers around participating in the greater thing that's happening, right? Giving back. And if I'm not in the position to get doing that or creating things that do that, my own recovery suffers, right?
So you have to be a part of the organizing, the execution, the participating in the action part of it. When you're doing that, you're really like engulf yourself in the service aspect of things.
And you still got your day job.
Yeah. It's just a service thing.
Yeah.
But doing that and like completing it and like being able to look at each other like we did it, like the 12 and 2, man. Like that was such a that was not just a couple hours. That was days into, and seeing the change in people, being a part of that, participating in it, and just pulling it off is like such a therapeutic like rush of good.
Right.
Like I did something that helps people. Like that's what recovery is all about, if you ask me. Being
Absolutely.
A part of that.
Right.
All right, let's see. Do you have any other you want to shout out before I move on?
I think that there might be somebody I missed.
Okay. So talking about what I noticed is on your website, which is great. You guys are really focusing on the grant and the grant giving. But how can we instruct people or tell people how to donate, how to learn more? What's been your method of getting donor funds and what can we do to help?
Yeah, because that's a whole my thought process of that is, you are giving money to people. You're sending out grants to people to do cool stuff, right? Mm-hmm. How do we help you get the money?
So
to do that,
I think the biggest thing to really kind of get to know us, who we are, who we've helped in the past, who we're closely affiliated with, is our annual event.
Okay.
I think we have rough plans for an early November date. I don't think we'll announce anything at the moment, just in case people mark their calendars. But it'll be, you know, we have an annual event usually in the fall. That early November time frame is there's a couple milestones around there. Patrick's birthday and the date of his passing is kind of around that time. So powerful moment for us. So we try to aim kind of for that. We have not picked a location yet. Anyway, look at the website.
But this event is a great place for them to go and learn.
So, and this is a biking event.
It's a biking event, but I will say over the last few years,
bicycling
is what we should be specific about.
Yes, David thought y'all were out there like Sons of Anarchy. You know,
bring your own leather jacket,
tattooed necks, just bikers for.
Bring my skull mask.
Right.
No. Right. So we'll take you as that. You know, we'll put you on a bicycle. It'll be a good look.
It's become a walking one too.
Yeah. So that's
normally on the Beltline. Newer sections of the Beltline.
Yeah. And so we try to make it very approachable. When people hear bicycle ride, they're thinking, I don't ride bikes. I haven't touched that in 20 years. Mm. We want to let you know, we try to keep it under 10 miles. It's a very friendly pace. Yeah. There are plenty of people that are running the ride that will make sure you don't get lost. Mm. You get dropped from the group. You catch a flat tire. We got a plan. You know, all that stuff. The bikes will come already, like, ready to go for you and all that stuff.
So we provide the bikes if you don't have one. So if you say to yourself, I can't go, I don't have a bike, you're like,
we got you.
I want to see you on a banana seat lowrider bicycle.
Give me the Rama.
Give me the long bar.
Yeah, the low rider.
The little chickle chickle.
Yeah.
You got to bring the tube socks.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm there, man.
With the chonklas on and everything. Yeah.
I got the vision. And I'm on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, so it's we really make it for everyone. We got people that bring kids there. We bring tons of stuff to keep the kids entertained.
Like a bounce house and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we have vendors that we partnered with that provide coffee and breakfast. We do pizza
so
after.
So cool.
You know, we keep the fee very low up front. Let us know if you can't, afford that fee. We'll talk about it. But we try to make it just a good day to get together to commemorate Patrick. There's the fundraising component. We have fun ways to fundraise with different raffles and whatnot. We have wonderful T-shirts that, you know, we have a great designer.
A daughter-in-law.
Yep, Molly's daughter-in-law, so in-house there as well. It's all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Through the website, you can register for the event.
And if someone wants to just donate.
There's a button on the website as
okay.
well.
Yeah. And what's the website?
pmanfoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's it.
Make sure our .com didn't change.
No, it's okay.
pmanfoundation.org.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And someone can donate, and they know that that's going into a bucket that's going to get dispersed to some of these people that we listed.
Cool ass things causes. Like that.
We have no other expenses, honestly. Yes. We don't. There's no one on our payroll. We have no place that we have to pay rent to. There's nothing else. The only thing we have is, you know, the upfront cost on T-shirts or, you know, things like that. And then we try to recoup that by selling them.
And we
so
have,
it's 100% of the money that is donated goes into these grants.
Yeah.
Micro grants.
Yeah.
Because they're $1,000 or, you know, they're not $10,000 or $100,000, but they're micro grants.
Yeah. And that's all, you know, attributed to our partners that have helped us, like, through and through of, you know, Bicycle Tours of Atlanta provides the bikes every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they were one of those that's just name a date. They don't ask questions.
That's so cool.
They don't, you know. Like
what a great relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in terms of getting to know us, where to donate and all that stuff, I think that's the best way to understand who we are and what we're about. So.
Well, I just want to commend you for, you know, taking something like that's so painful and giving purpose and turning that into a force for good for really hundreds of people in the last 8 years and then however many more to come. And it's not an easy thing to do. I know that there was a lot of fight to get to that place to make it impactful, but I mean, that's really kind of like all we can do, right? I mean, that's a lot of what it means to recover is to take, you know, the pains of my past and give it purpose. And I use those things now to help someone else. Mm-hmm. And That's exactly what you guys are doing. You're taking this painful thing, this tragic thing, and turning it into something that can be helpful to others. And potentially, and you'll never know. You'll never see the person kayaking down the river who had that moment of like, yeah. Maybe I can live this life, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a ripple effect that you guys are having.
A life-changing moment.
Yeah.
Right.
You know it. Yeah.
Big time. It's a life-changing moment. You know, like I said before, the break, you keep pertaining to, we were talking about, like, you know, I work with so many different people beginning recovery, thinking about recovery, trying to work through recovery, different age groups. One thing that they all share is this, one of the common things that's said when we're in group and we're talking about, you know, sustainability in recovery, what's it like being in recovery? One of the first things that they say is, I am bored.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm so bored. So having a grant that's focused around giving people some sort of entertainment, outlet, something to do as a group, a function, just to get together and like hang out, have fun, do something like out of the box. Like, I love that you're getting all these different kind of requests and you can participate in like helping people get surfboards, a walk up Kilimanjaro. Like, it's not just one thing that you're just touching on. It's a wide variety, which I think is really missing in that, in our community, is a variety of things. A creative outlet to do something cool shit. And I just love y'all for like offering that and being able to provide help to get those things done. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And you guys sponsor some Ricky Davis events, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Party. You better believe, because he his talks balance. About it at the beginning of any anytime he
We're
says
not giving him
anything.
A commission, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ricky.
No,
you're
he's
out
doing
there
that off
check.
The rip. Like, hey, it's me, Ricky Davis again. Oh,
this
by the way,
P
Man Foundation. Yeah. Yeah. You got to go do it. Go fill it out. Like, that's right. He is your advocate.
Really, no one's doing what he's doing in the community with these like events where he
not
throws
on his
these
level,
giant
level.
Parties.
Right.
Like, it's so cool to see that. Yeah.
When he found us, honestly, everything started to change for us because it was. He was a voice for us that we didn't have.
Yeah.
We just didn't.
Shout out, Ricky. Yeah.
He cemented our position, too, because, again, we where we are today was not where we started. And I think when we put this on our, you know, brainstorming board, we didn't really know what this looked like until we run into someone like Ricky, where it's like, oh, there are, like, different people putting on different events that we would have never thought of, that we would have never been able to pull off or, you know, whatever. We didn't have the passion for whatever.
Right.
And we're able to help. Touches, you know, those events. And then also, like, our annual event, we get to see these people and they get to talk about, you know, how it helped them live and in person.
Yeah.
And so we get, I mean, the days after those P-Man events, it's like, we got so many new ideas. We're, you know, we're riding high off that. We're like, feel, you know, like we're flying. So it's just such a cool event. So I think everybody out there should come hang out.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming here, sharing, and the work that you guys are doing in the recovery community. Any final words, anything that you feel like you want to say before we close?
I think we've said it all.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, biggest thing is thank you guys. I mean, this is y'all's platform. We followed it, and, you know, it's just, we're so delighted to be here.
Yeah. Well, P-Man is helping us out, right?
That's right.
On more than one thing, too.
Yeah.
Right.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. So thank you for listening to The Most High Show. If you feel inspired to help P-Man Foundation continue on this mission, pmanfoundation.org. Yes. Click that donate button and, you know, any donation.
Or if you got a good idea of something cool you want to do, look up the P Foundation for help.
That's right. That's right.
You can fill out the application right from that website. So get on it.
All right. Peace.
So cool.